Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics.
Sean Payton was horrible in clock management. That should never be the case with this New Orleans Saints team.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, joined in studio today by Travis Anderson as we get set to talk. Well, I'll jump all over the place. We have some NBA basketball to chat about. Travis, last night, the Utah Jazz, solid win, 106-104 over the 76ers. If you didn't watch the game, there was really no dramatic ending. Shot at the buzzer by Philly. Utah had a two-possession lead. Really, it was Bogdan Bogdanovic that made the big difference last night in this game for Utah. Bogey was pretty good. Knocked down a pretty key three-point shot as well to extend the lead to five late in the contest. Best performance from the Jazz so far this year? I say yes, hands down.
Hands down. That's a game Philadelphia gets Joel Embiid back from the suspension, and Jazz protect their home court with a good one. Like you said, Bogey, he was big for them. Whenever they needed a big basket, big three-point shot, he came through.
It's the second loss of the season for Philadelphia, and I really like this team. The Eastern Conference so far, you may not know this, but already in the Eastern Conference, and again, it's early, I get this, but out of seven games, we have five teams with five wins. One of them, the defending champion Toronto Raptors, a lot of variables you have to throw in there as well. But the Heat have five wins. The Bucks look pretty good once again. The Celtics have played well after an 0-1 start. They've won five consecutive games. And so really, when you take a look at the Eastern Conference, small sample size, but to me, it appears to be a little bit better than it has been in years past.
Yeah, it's a little bit deeper. Now, with the Western Conference is probably the better conference, but the East is balanced. Yeah, the East is really balanced. So I like the East. I think it's fun.
Now, in the Western Conference, we have seven teams with at least five wins. The Jazz, Rockets, and Clippers all 5-3. And I want to talk about the Clippers a little bit later on in the show as well. I didn't get to go into great detail on the idea of Kawhi Leonard not playing in back-to-back games. I want to touch on that. We'll take a look at the Jazz from last night and look ahead to the future schedule for Utah as well. That's all coming up on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Let's take a look at some of the national headlines. And why not? Let's begin in the Pac-12, and we'll talk about your USC Trojans. It's been a rough go of it. I think at this point it seems like a formality that Clay Helton is going to be on his way out. But one of USC's their athletic director, Mike Bone's first official acts is going to be to evaluate the football program. That's going to be one of his first acts, right?
It has to be his first act.
Okay, so with that being said, he made a statement today, and to me, this is very politically correct, in which he said that it'd be premature to be talking about coaches or any situation because he's just arrived and there isn't enough there to evaluate, and I'm paraphrasing, of course. But nonetheless, didn't it just sound like to you, and I don't know if you saw the interview today.
I did. I watched it. I watched the press conference.
Okay, so in this particular deal, did it seem like to you that Clay Helton is done?
Yes.
And this was just really...
Yes, it does.
Okay. I'm glad that I'm not the
only
one.
He's
got
to come in there and say the right things. He can't just come in. He's just got to play the political card right now, be politically right, give Clay Helton his time. But at the end of the year, they're not going to fire him now. They'll probably let him finish the last three games.
Well, you have to at this point.
Yeah, and at this point, you have to. And then they will fire him because it's not his guy. And anytime you hire a new regime, a new AD, he wants his people in there. So that's going to be the start, is the USC football program and getting rid of Clay Helton.
It's not all doom and gloom for USC just yet. I mean, it's not as if Utah has the Pac-12 South solidified, because if USC was to win out and Utah was to slip up once, well, there you have it. USC's back into the Pac-12 title game. So this has always been my thought on Clay Helton, knowing that Utah's a top 10 team in the country and they did beat Utah, be it at home on a Friday night. If you get to the Pac-12 championship game, I don't think you can fire Clay Helton. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, unless
Well, they'll get blown out by Oregon again if in a rematch.
Well, probably, but you still get there in a South that, I mean, Utah's a top 10 team, and if you find a way, you beat that team and you find a way to get to the Pac-12 championship, to me that counts for something, unless Urban Meyer is a shoo-in. He wants the job. Then I think it's a little bit different. But nonetheless, in the interview or the press conference today with USC's athletic director, I found no assurance, if I'm Clay Helton, that I'm keeping the job. In fact, I believe it was all just politically correct talk. He's on his way out.
Yeah, he's going to be on his way out, and then that's where USC looks. They got to look at Urban Meyer and some other names. So we'll see what happens with that football program, but it's just Clay Helton's a nice guy, but he's not the right guy to lead the USC Trojans football program.
Let's move to the NFL. The Washington Redskins have placed Trent Williams on reserve non-football injury list, which will end his season. The team made this announcement today. And this is really, you know, we could talk about the Melvin Gordon situation, and we can talk about, and in recent years, we've had holdouts from Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald. We can talk about all these different situations, but the bottom line is here, the Redskins completely botched this situation.
They messed it up.
Completely. Yeah. They screwed it up. We're talking about a guy that is
one of the best in the league.
One of the best in the league, no question. They were reluctant to give up on him. He has said he's not going to play for the Redskins again. I don't know exactly what the offers were, but at this point in time, a second, a third round pick, I think you got a bite on that. In fact, if I was Cleveland, I would have probably been desperate and given Washington whatever they wanted.
Absolutely. And for Washington, those are draft picks that you need to build your football program. The guy wasn't going to play for you, so you have to get something out of it. Now it's a bigger mess that they botched. I mean, this is what the Redskins have become. They are a bad football team.
And he's had three surgeries during the offseason to remove the tumor. And again, this was brought up last week. He revealed a cancer diagnosis that played a part in his lengthy holdout and said he didn't trust the team's medical staff. He said it got pretty serious and he was told some scary things by doctors that kind of changed his outlook on life. The Redskins released a statement saying they requested that the NFL's management council convene with a joint committee with the Players Association. It's a big mess. But the bottom line is, I believe Trent Williams plays if the Redskins move him.
Yes.
He doesn't want to play for that organization because he says
he doesn't trust. Yeah. If he's somewhere else, he plays. But he's not going to risk anything playing for Washington.
And it's easy for me to sit here and say this because I'm not a general manager. I'm not in charge of player personnel. But at the same time, he's 31 years old. This is a team that's won one game, a team that fired their head coach, a team that has a rookie quarterback. He doesn't fit your personnel to begin with.
It doesn't fit, like you said. So why hold on to that guy and not get something in return to help you future-wise to build your program up?
It's weird. The whole situation is weird.
It starts with their ownership and Snyder and moves down. I mean, they're dumb. It's a dumb franchise.
Yeah, Bruce Allen hasn't done a great job.
they're dumb.
Let's take a look at the schedule tonight. We'll jump back over to the NBA. Extremely short slate of games, only four. It'll begin at 6 o'clock on TNT. We get the Celtics on the road to take on the Hornets. 6:30 tonight, Oklahoma City battles the San Antonio Spurs. 7 o'clock tonight, it's Miami at Phoenix. And then in the nightcap, it's Portland at the Clippers. 8:30 start time of that contest. Do we get Kawhi tonight?
Kawhi gets to play tonight.
Finally on national TV.
Nice load management game yesterday.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that a little bit later on in the show. And also tonight, we get the Chargers and we get the Raiders, a massive Thursday night football game. We have to talk about that. We're going to break for just a moment. When we return, we're going to be joined by USU Eastern women's basketball coach Chelsea Warburton. The Lady Eagles will play host to a set of games tomorrow and Saturday, 2-0 already this season. We'll talk about the local girls on this year's team and also talk about what is up and coming. It's right here on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios on KOAL 107.3 FM. FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And we will begin with high school swimming, where on Tuesday afternoon, the Emory Spartans opened up the 2019 season as they played host to the Carbon Dinos and South Sevier Rams. On the girls' side of the pool, Emory ran away with the meet victory, scoring 389 points compared to Carbon, who finished with 290. South Sevier finished in third with 20. On the boys' side of the pool, once again, it was Emory walking away with a victory as they finished with 342 points. Carbon was in second with 172, followed by South Sevier with 125. Tuesday's meet was the lone competition of the week for the Emory Spartans. They'll return to the pool on Tuesday as they welcome in Gunnison and Roland Hall. Carbon, on the other hand, will continue the early portion of their season when they travel on the road to Cedar City this weekend for the Cedar Invitational. This will mark the third competition for the Dino Swim team this season. For more information on this meet and others, visit CastleCountryRadio.com. We move over to junior college athletics, and the USU Eastern women's volleyball team will enter the Scenic West Athletic Conference tournament this Friday, ranked number 12 in the country. In a year filled with record-breaking achievements by the Lady Eagles, the team and coaching staff has had one goal in mind, and that's bringing home a conference title. The Lady Eagles will have their chance to do just that tomorrow and Saturday when they join five other SWAC teams in what should be an interesting weekend of volleyball. After finishing conference play with a record of 7-3, the Lady Eagles will enter the tournament with a first-round bye as the number 2 seed. On Friday, they will take the court against the winner of the College of Southern Idaho and the College of Southern Nevada. That match will take place at 10 a.m. in the morning. The Lady Eagles swept their regular season series against both teams. You can visit CastleCountryRadio.com for a link to watch Friday morning's contest. A victory there for the Lady Eagles would put them in the conference championship game on Saturday. We move over to soccer, and the USU Eastern men's team has three players that have taken home Region 18 All-Conference honors, and those awards were presented at the conference tournament, which was hosted by Salt Lake Community College over the weekend. Parker Huff earned first-team All-Conference for the Eagles. He's a first-year midfielder from Far West, Utah. He tallied one goal from the midfield position this season, and he appeared in all 15 matches for the team. Midfielder Tomage Woodhouse earned second-team All-Conference honors. Woodhouse scored two goals this season to go along with five assists. He's out of Pleasant Grove, Utah. And rounding out the awards for the men's team, sophomore defender Alex Tholen finished with a second-team All-Conference honor. He's from Snow Canyon High School in St. George, and he appeared in 14 of the 15 matches and was a starter for the Eagles in 12 of those contests. And we move over to the USU Eastern women's soccer team, who also had three individuals named All-Conference squads. Sophomore defender Madison Nichols earned a first-team All-Conference nod. She appeared in all 16 games for the Eagles, and she was a starter in 15 of those. Ashley Brindley, a forward from St. George, earned a second-team All-Conference nod. In her first season, she netted 12 goals to go along with three assists. And first-year goalkeeper Meg Edwards rounded out the awards for the women's team. She, too, earned a second-team All-Conference nod. She was a starter in all 16 matches this past season. She spent 1,395 of 1,485 total minutes guarding the net for the Eagles. We will have more coverage of USU Eastern Athletics today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports. Joining us will be head basketball coach Chelsea Warburton for the women's team. They'll open up the home portion of their schedule tomorrow and Saturday at the BDAC. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We're going to talk college basketball here on the Coach's Corner. Coming up this weekend, the USU Eastern men and women squads will both play host to doubleheader action. And it's been a while since we've been able to watch JUCO basketball at the BDAC. USU Eastern Lady Eagles, they have three local girls on the team this year, all from Emory, Caselyn and Kinley Toomer, and then, of course, Lainey Jensen. 2-0 so far this season, and joining us right now to talk about the early going of the season and what is up and coming this weekend, we have head coach Chelsea Warburton. Coach, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. The season's off and rolling, and over the weekend, a couple of road contests, traveled to the Sevier Valley Center, and you guys come away with two victories, Eastern Wyoming and then Arizona Western as well. So a couple of wins to start off the season. How did you assess the way the girls played in their first competition?
I think they did great. First games are always a little nerve-wracking. Obviously, you're with the whole new system, structure, coaches, team. We were in a new building that we had never played in. But they did a great job. They executed well for the most part. It was exciting to see some of the things that they did on their own and together. Obviously, there's a lot still to work on, but it was a fun weekend for us.
I know that there are some familiar faces, but a lot of new faces on the team this year as well. A lot of local girls that people are going to recognize. First off, Caselyn Kinley Toomer. You and I have talked a lot about these girls going back to last year when they had signed letters of intent with you guys. They've gotten off to a pretty good start. Not too shabby.
Yeah, we were very excited when they committed and we got their paperwork done. Kaysen and Kinley both had a great weekend for us, especially for our very first game as a freshman. Very impressed with what they did.
They can crash the boards. I mean, they mm-hmm. could do that in high school, and I had wondered if they would have that same success moving to the next level. Statistically, they did. I mean, these are guards that can rebound the basketball.
They're just tough. Like, their mentality, they just get the job done. Whatever you need, they go do it. They play hard all the time, but they're team players, too.
You guys do have a pretty good combination, it seems, of freshmen and sophomore on this year's team. It's not as if you guys are overloaded with sophomores or you're overloaded with freshmen. That's a fair assessment, right? It's a good number.
Yeah,
it's an
we
even
have,
balance.
Eight sophomores and six freshmen, which that's the biggest returning class that we've had. Usually we've only had two or three. But I think that's going to be in our favor down the road.
As far as those returners, Coach, and I know it's only two games into the season, but we can even go back to the offseason, some of the offseason workouts that you guys had. How much of an improvement have you seen from these sophomores?
It's crazy. That's what, right at the end of freshman year, all of a sudden it's, oh, I'm a sophomore, and their their mentality is different, but their ability and what they believe they can do has grown.
I know it's the idea is to make sure that they're not freshmen at a certain time, but that's, you know, I'm talking about their freshman season. You want to make sure they're playing as sophomores, you know, middle of the season or by the time you hit conference play. That's not always achievable, though. I mean, really, I mean, it's just a different level of play. Some of these girls were the best players on their high school team. It's not the case when they come to junior college.
Absolutely. Right? As I said, there's 14 great players this year, and our job's to get the best team out there and get a flow going. And but to us, no matter who we sub, I don't feel like we're losing anything this year in either of the five positions. Like, we are solid all the way through. We have a deep bench, and our sophomores are playing like sophomores and leading those freshmen.
When you talk about having such a deep team, that makes it more difficult to coach, right?
Absolutely.
You have 12 girls that can play, 13 girls that can play.
And we've had that conversation, and again, that comes down to us as coaches and putting the right people in at the right time. But the players are doing their job. They're making it hard on us and pushing each other. But that's the end goal, is to make each other better and have the best season we can.
Well, let's talk about some of the returning sophomore on this year's team. Obviously, we're going to remember Emery Wagstaff from last season. She played a pretty pivotal role within this mm-hmm. team. Who are some of the other sophomores that you're expecting to really make a big impact moving into this year?
We have Amitia, point guard for us last year. Emery obviously was one of the leading scorers coming from last year, returning. You have Lainey Jensen, who's one of the best shooters. She also played pretty great this weekend. So it was fun seeing three Emery kids. We felt like we were back at Emery High School for a minute. Then you have Riley. There's just a handful. Like, every one of them brings something different to the table. Again, I feel like they all are playing like sophomores and have improved over the summer, and that means that they put the work in.
I know that there's also some familiar faces back on the bench that people will, if they're not aware of it, they will be aware of it the first time they come watch you guys play at the BDAC. Coach Parr is back on the bench with you. Last time we saw Coach Parr coaching, you were his assistant. Now he's your assistant. It's kind of come full circle. I'm sure it's great to have Coach Parr back around the program.
Yes, I've been asking him for the last couple of years. I finally twisted his arm enough to get him there this year, and it's been so much fun for me. I played for him. I coached with him or under him. And now we're coaching again, but he just brings a lot to the table. He's very knowledgeable, but what he does for our program and how he cares for the girls is very important to us.
He became kind of an ambassador for USU Eastern Athletics once he walked away. I mean, it wasn't as if Coach Parr was just gone. We saw him around the BDAC. We saw him, you know, at games. It didn't matter if it was basketball, baseball. It didn't matter. We saw Coach Parr around. But now that he is your assistant, has he taught you anything this season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, it's just great to have him around. It's another set of eyes, and that's what I told him, because what he knows and what he can bring to the table is instrumental in what we're trying to do. But he might see something that me and Coach Mo don't see, or I can give him something to focus on that we don't have time to. It's just been very beneficial.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Chelsea Warburton of the USU Eastern basketball squad. Coach, now that the season opening weekend is behind us, it didn't take long to get home games this year. You guys will be at home this weekend in a back-to-back set, Central Wyoming on Friday, and then we get the Utah All-Stars on Saturday. As you try to get these girls acclimated to it's a brutal schedule for junior college basketball. I believe it is still the longest collegiate sport. If we're talking D1, D2, all the way down to JUCO, I mean, it is really a grind. You guys are going to be playing basketball until late February, early March, maybe even deeper than that. So when you take a look at the schedule and the amount of freshmen, is it fair to say they're going to get a rude awakening, or they're going to see a more really grueling schedule come up? Because you guys don't slow down anytime soon.
No, that's what I told them the previous weekend. I said, enjoy this weekend because it's your last one for several weeks. And they kind of looked at me, and they're excited to play, but that's what I said. Enjoy your rest now and your time off on your weekends, because you don't see that for a while, even though we're here for basketball and for school, and that's what we love to do. You definitely have to grind, like you said.
Well, it's really this weekend, again, it's one of the only times that people are going to have an opportunity to come out and watch this team, at least through November. I believe you guys only have one home set in November, right?
Yep.
And then not again until December. So, Coach, we'll start by talking about Central Wyoming. Early on in the season, do you prepare for opponents, or do you just focus more on what you guys need to do?
We focus on us. Like, we want to be good at who we are and what we want to do. But we did play Central Wyoming at the Jamboree. We played them twice last year. Great team. She has a couple of new kids. So we definitely will be preparing for them in the next day or so. But I think they'll have a hard time stopping what we have and who we are, too.
And then the next day you get an all-star team, and those games are always a crapshoot. I'm sure for a coach, those are probably very nerve-wracking because you just never know.
Yeah, exactly. They're good for us in the sense that they're usually all D1 ladies, so we get to see, you know, how they play and the style, but also at the same time we get to show them who we are. Mm-hmm. I have seen some of the lineup, and it's going to be a great game. They're tough kids coming to play us.
The maturity level, typically, when you get an all-star team in, they're adults, typically, right?
I mean,
so the maturity level is a lot different.
Well, that's what the girls kind of laugh because they say the older ladies are coming. And I said, but the older ladies are great, and they're good at what they do, so you can learn a lot from them.
Let's take a look at the SWAC conference in general. I know we're still a little bit ways away from conference play, but there are some changes. Obviously, Salt Lake is going to bring in a new coach. I know on the men's side, it's completely different. But if we take a look at the women's side, outside of Salt Lake, I don't believe there's too many changes taking place from a coach's standpoint. How does the conference in your mind look?
It's strong. It's always strong, but it's just watching them at Jamboree and kind of hearing about them. Everybody's had a great recruiting year, and they're going to all be tough to play, but I think we're at the top of the league right now.
Yeah, I mean, in talking to you and maybe even some of the other media members from around the SWAC, they've told me the same thing. Yeah. USU Eastern, people are talking about USU Eastern going into the season.
Yeah, again, we're just being confident, and we feel like we had a great recruiting season. Again, if we stay healthy and we buy into what we want to do, I think it's going to be a great year for us.
Well, Coach, I definitely appreciate you taking out the time to come back in and start talking about the upcoming basketball season. It's kind of insane that we're already here at the beginning of November talking about our first homestand, which is coming up again Friday and Saturday. Make sure you get out and support the USU Eastern Lady Eagles. And Coach, I look forward to talking with you again as the season continues to progress. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Again, that's Coach Chelsea Warburton of the USU Eastern Lady Eagles. Remember, they'll play doubleheader action at home this weekend. For the complete schedule, make sure you check out CastleCountryRadio.com. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. Big win last night for the Utah Jazz. They eke one out 106-104 over the 76ers. Bojan Bogdanović was huge for the Jazz in this contest. We'll talk some NBA basketball. Plus, we'll preview tonight's NFL matchup. We get the Raiders and the Chargers. Live coverage of that game will begin at 5:45 right here on KOAL. Kickoff is scheduled for 6:20. It's all coming up here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, live from the Auto Forum Studios.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 7:50 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios. Bounce around the NBA and talk about the Utah Jazz. Last night, big win for Utah. Didn't start off the best. Jazz falling an early 5-0 hole. Just looked stagnant offensively. And then Mike Conley had the first bucket of the game. And it may seem meaningless, but it's really not. At this point in time, you just want Conley to get comfortable. And he still didn't shoot the ball great last night, and that really has been the big story for the Jazz. He was 6 of 15. He did finish with 15 points. Had a couple of assists to go along with his name. But I'll tell you who was very consistent last night. That was Bojan Bogdanović was great. Donovan Mitchell, I think at this point in time we know what Donovan is as far as what he can shoot from the field, but he did hand out 8 assists. All in all, I think it was the best performance that we have seen from the Jazz so far this year.
I agree with you. Beating Philadelphia at home, Ben Simmons goes out of that game early in the first half.
And so that's fine.
You got to take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
And that's what the Jazz did. The Philadelphia made their runs, but the Jazz never allowed Philadelphia to, you know, even try to seize control of that game. You never felt that Utah was going to lose that game.
No, you didn't. They shot 46% from the field. Again, it was a very efficient night for the Jazz. But are you concerned with Mike Conley just yet? I mean, last night, and this is a very telling stat, the Jazz were plus 19 when he was out on the floor. I don't know that you would really, I don't think that that was evident when he was out on the floor. Statistically, it doesn't back that up at all. But the game did run smooth when Conley was there. And again, he continues to struggle from the field, and I'm okay with that. Are you concerned about this yet? Is it what it is? Or do you think he's going to continue to get better?
I think this is what it is. I think with Mike Conley, with the Jazz, this is what he's going to be. A 12-point guy, 2 rebounds and 3 assists per game. And I think that's who he is with this team. He's not going to have the ball in his hands as much as he did with Memphis. Mitchell's going to take some of that. So is Boyan. So I think this is who Mike Conley is.
Is that a bad thing?
I don't think it's a bad thing, no.
I don't know if it's a good thing, though.
I don't think it's good.
I'm taking a look at this guy's
production.
I don't
think you can win with that happening.
No, I don't either. So I think he will get better. I don't think this is it. I don't think this is the end-all, be-all for Mike Conley. At least, as a Jazz fan, you have to hope that this is not the end-all, be-all. But then I take a look at what the Jazz had coming off of the bench last night. And Joe Ingles, again, very efficient shooting the basketball. A lot of the reason why the Jazz managed to shoot 46% from the field, well, it's because Joe Ingles was 6 of 11 coming off of the bench for 16 points in this game.
He's been quiet this year.
He's been a little bit quiet, but again, his role changes with Bogdanovich, right? Because you lose Derek Favors, and defensively, the Jazz miss Favors. They miss him badly, I believe, on defense. Last night, we didn't get to see Ben Simmons the entire game, and I was really looking forward to seeing Simmons play throughout the course of 4 quarters. I wanted to see how the Jazz could match his size because they struggled with LeBron heavily this year, and that's where Derek Favors would come into play. But nonetheless, when you remove someone like Favors and you put someone like Bogdanovich in, you still only have one basketball, right? It's going to be difficult for Joe Ingles. And Joe Ingles is going to make his biggest presence felt on the offensive side of the ball. When there's only one ball to go around, a piece of that pie has to go away from someone.
Shots come down.
And that's Joe Ingles. I mean, it really is. With him coming off of the bench, playing behind Bogey, that's what's going to happen.
And Joe Ingles last night, like we said, 6 of 11. Usually Ingles, if they didn't have Boy on there, his shot's going to be 18, 19, 20 shots. Now
sure,
he's going to be down to 10, 11. I think that's where Joe Ingles is going to have to be. And he's going to have to be efficient when he has that opportunity. 6 of 11 last night, that's efficient. That's where Joe Ingles has to be.
Yeah, and I think if you take a look at where Ingles has been so far this season, just look at the past 5 games. I mean, he was terrible against Phoenix. He shot 50% against the Clippers. He was at 30% against the Kings. I believe he was 30% against the Clippers. He was above 50% last night. So if he can shoot, hover anywhere around that 45 to 50% range coming off of the bench, that's exactly where you want him to be. He was very, very key for the Jazz last night. Again, best win of the season so far for this team. It's still very early, and I hate to speak in absolutes, and you don't ever want to overreact because it is so early.
Tomorrow's a test.
Tomorrow is a test for this Jazz team. I mean, it really, really is. They'll take on the Bucks. It's a tough little stretch. I know you got Golden State to break it up on Monday with a road trip, but after that, you have Brooklyn. You have Memphis back-to-back with Minnesota. It's a telling stretch for the Jazz, I'm going to say, over the next 2 weeks or so. By the time we hit Thanksgiving, I think we'll know what this team is. Really,
right.
I do.
Yeah, Thanksgiving time, like you said, New Orleans, and then they're at the Bucks, at the Pacers, at the Grizzlies. That's a tough shit. So, yeah, once Thanksgiving rolls around, we'll know what to make out of the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, they got a 5-game road trip where they play Milwaukee, Indiana, Toronto, and Philly. That's right at the end of November, moving into December.
Especially in the West, you can't afford to drop games. And
no,
last
you
night is one of those that they couldn't afford to drop, and they took care of a business at home.
Yeah, solid win for the Jazz last night. Let's talk about the Clippers. Tonight, we'll see Kawhi Leonard. And again, I talked about this briefly yesterday, but I really want to go into it. I really want to dive a little bit further into it today. And the idea of load management. Okay, first off, before I give my spill, I want your opinion on Kawhi not playing back-to-back games. And the Clippers are citing a knee injury, which I think is bogus.
It's bull.
Yeah, there's no knee injury there. So give me your thoughts on load management, which essentially, you're a baseball guy, I'm a baseball guy, this is a pitch count. That's what this is. It's a pitch count.
Load management's not an NBA problem. It's more of a Kawhi Leonard problem. And this is what you're going to get when you brought this guy in. You knew this was going to happen. Toronto went through the same thing last year. And the Clippers, they, you know, planned on doing it. I think it's bull. I think if that guy is healthy enough to play, he should play in those games. He has to play. The NBA markets around. If you see all these ads on TV now with Kawhi Leonard, it's all about Kawhi. The league is, you know, built their product around this guy. This guy cannot sit out. That's bull.
Okay. I want to cite Michael Jordan's comments, because Michael Jordan made the comment, you're paid to play 82 games, right?
Yeah, so if you're healthy enough, you're paid to play in those games. If he's not playing, he shouldn't get paid.
Michael Jordan used to tell everyone in Charlotte, you're paid to play 82 games. You go back, you take a look at Michael Jordan's career. I think he played 82 games. It was 9 times or something like that in his career. He never wanted to come off the court. Kobe Bryant never wanted to come off the court. Hell, Dirk Nowitzki never wanted to come off the court. I think it is important to throw that out the door. And what I mean by that is, I'm not saying that today's players aren't as tough. Maybe they're not. I don't know. But I will say this. We live in a different world with analytics. And analytically, sometimes we take things to the extreme. Look at baseball. How many baseball guys are running front offices at this point in time? Not front offices, running player personnel at this time. How many baseball guys? Not many. I mean, you see a lot of guys that know analytics, right? Moneyball is taking over. And that's why I made the reference to this basically being a pitch count in baseball. That's what it is. It's a pitch count in baseball. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. Kawhi was great in the postseason last year, wasn't he?
He was great.
He was coming off of a year in which people have different opinions.
I think he kind of bamboozled the Spurs a little bit.
Maybe, but he was still hurt. We can agree that he was hurt.
Hurt. He was healthy enough to come back. He didn't want to because he didn't trust the San Antonio Spurs.
Okay, so with that being said, do you believe the immense success that he had in the postseason last year was due to load management in which the Raptors applied last year?
No.
Don't think so?
I think they caught some breaks wrong the way. They got a lucky bounce against Philadelphia. Milwaukee went up 2-0, didn't they, in that series? Mm-hmm. And then Milwaukee just fell apart. So I think they got lucky in a sense. Everything broke their way.
Durant,
Clay, they both go down. I think along the way they caught some breaks and took advantage of it. And that's what you have to do to win a championship.
He was great, though.
He was great. But I don't think that the load management was that big of a deal.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because you're a Laker guy.
Mm-hmm.
So if Frank Vogel decides tonight that LeBron James is not going to play any back-to-back games, and the Lakers are going to do what they can to get to the playoffs. Once they get to the playoffs, they're going to flip a switch. Would that be wise in your mind?
I don't think LeBron would let that happen, but no, I don't. I think LeBron, with the injuries last year and the summer he had off, he should play 82 games if he's capable of playing 82 games.
This is what I would worry about from a Clippers standpoint. The fact is, you have a lot of moving pieces.
And Paul George is coming back.
Is coming back. When I say a lot, I mean they did return a lot of the guys from last year. But the fact is, your two main pieces, they're new. They've never played together.
And I just don't think in the West you can afford to drop games. It's November. You can tell me it's November, but come April, you could look back at November and say, well, if Kawhi didn't, you know, sit out those two games, our seed could have been higher.
Yeah, let's be real. They're 5-3 right now.
They're 5-3.
They're 5-3. They're 2 games behind the
Lakers. You're chasing teams ahead of you. I don't like it. If you're healthy enough to play, you should play. Because the league has built around Kawhi. It's about Kawhi now. The Clippers are the darling of the NBA.
They are. Oh, and they're in the LA market. And this is the thing. We might not have paid attention to Kawhi missing back-to-backs in Toronto because...
It's Toronto.
It's Toronto.
We don't care.
He's in LA now. Okay, he's in the second biggest media market in the country. And there's been such a big deal made over the battle for LA. And regardless of what you think, the league wants this. The league has wanted this. The league has wanted two elite teams in LA.
Forever.
Since the Lakers and the Hornets trade with Chris Paul was nullified.
Yep.
That was the whole idea behind this. To force feed Chris Paul to the Clippers to create a rivalry in the second largest media market in the country. They finally have it. It's bad for ratings and it's bad for business when Kawhi is not playing. And I think you hit it right on the head. Even going beyond the business, which I care very little about the business. I'm going to watch the NBA regardless. I mean, regardless of Kawhi Leonard's playing or not, I'm going to watch. But when you take a look at what this could mean long-term for the Clippers, they don't have home court advantage in the opening round. I'll tell you right now, If you go into Utah, let's say the Jazz are the 4 seed and the Clippers are the 5. That's not out of the question. With Kawhi not playing back-to-backs, that's not out of the question that could happen, okay?
You want to play? You want to go on the road against the Jazz?
I don't.
No, you don't.
There isn't a team in the NBA that wants to go on the road to play the Jazz. I'm just using that as an example.
The Clippers have to have home court, I think, to get to the NBA final. If they don't have home court, they're not going to.
Yeah, it's meaningless against the Lakers.
It's meaningless against the Lakers. It's going to be Lakers regardless. But those other teams, like the Jazz or the Rockets or whoever it is, just throwing it out there, the Nuggets, I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, if you go up against the Lakers, you're playing in your own home anyway. But yeah, the Jazz, Nuggets, I mean, look, the elevation, that's a very real thing. And so I do believe the Clippers are playing with the fire, dare I say, with this right now, because, again, and him getting acclimated to Paul George, that's going to be a big deal as well, right? And you need to take every opportunity to do that. I don't know that it's wise. I know it's not great for business.
I don't think it's fair to fans either.
It's not.
Because NBA tickets are expensive.
Yes, they are. For an 82-game season, they're
people,
very expensive.
You know, they look at the schedule, it comes out, well, I want to go watch Milwaukee. I want to take my son to the Milwaukee Bucks. I want to have good tickets. And then, what, the day of, they say he's not playing? Like, I'd be ticked.
He didn't play against the Jazz.
He didn't play against the Jazz. So, you know, a lot of people save their money up. You know, I want to go watch Kawhi play the Jazz. And he's not there. I just don't think it's fair to the fan who spends, you know, their hard-earned money on good tickets to see, you know, certain players, and then that player is not there.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, let's be real. If you're a Jazz fan, you're going to go to the game regardless, right?
Yes.
But if you're not a season ticket holder, yeah, you look forward to certain games. There's a reason certain games are held in higher demand, and Clipper tickets in the offseason were in high demand because of Kawhi and Paul George, and neither played when they came to Vivint.
And you got that stink fest. You absolutely just, I just, like you said, the Clippers are playing with fire, and I think in the long run it's going to catch up to them, because I don't think that team's getting the NBA Finals anyway.
I don't either. We got to take a quick commercial break. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll talk NFL football. Big game tonight, Chargers-Raiders. Live coverage will begin at 5:45. Brent Musburger and Lincoln Kennedy will bring you the play-by-play call. We'll talk about that when we return.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Try to close out this show without any glitches. Let's talk NFL football. Tonight, 5:45, we get the Chargers and the Raiders. I don't know that too many people could have predicted that going into Week 10, we'd have the Chargers at 4-5 and the Raiders at 4-4. Nonetheless, it's a monumental game. I'm going to say for the Raiders. Now, I think the Chargers are fine. They've put themselves back in a position to do some work and actually get to the postseason. But, Travis, I want to throw this out there. The Raiders are at 4-4. The Raiders were on the road for, what was it, 7 straight weeks? Well, they did not play a home game for like 7 straight weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're still at 500. I mean, because you had the Vikings, you had the Colts, the Bears game was out of the country. And then coming off of that game, they had to go to Lambeau, and then they went and played the Texans. They had a bye week in between. So it was 7 straight weeks without a home game for this Raiders squad. Okay, now with that being said, they pick up a 31-24 win over the Lions. If they could get a win tonight over the Chargers, they would be 5-4.
And the next two games are looking...
The Bengals and the Jets.
Yeah, those are two games they should win, and then they're on the road against Kansas City. They set themselves up nicely to make a push to lock down one of those playoff spots in the AFC.
A lot of the reason why tonight's game for the Raiders is absolutely huge. Now, as far as the Chargers are concerned, the Chargers have been hit massively with the injury bug. And I'm not making excuses for this team, but really it was just one thing after another. And when Hunter Henry is playing, this offense looks completely different. You had the Melvin Gordon situation. It's been a bad year for the Chargers up to this point in time. But
they
with that being
nicely
said, they have. I mean, they beat the Bears and the Packers in back-to-back weeks, so they've been okay over the last little while. And they've put themselves back in a situation, Travis, to where, look, they could make it. They could squeeze into the playoffs.
Yeah, last week, dominating the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, they did.
One of the teams I thought was probably one of the best teams in not only football, but the NFC. And they jump out 19-0 on them, hold out, and win 26-11. Yeah, the Chargers have had a weird season.
Well, the Chargers are getting healthy. I mean, they really are. They're
finally
getting healthy.
Should have never lost
Tennessee. No, well, they beat Tennessee. I mean, truthfully,
they did.
They beat Tennessee, but the fact is, this is finally a team that's playing decent football. And so tonight is such a pivotal game. There's no question this is the biggest Thursday night game that we have had so far this season. And, you know, really, we could talk about Austin Eckler, who's been great. I think Melvin Gordon, he's slid back in, and he's had some solid contribution for the Chargers. They should only get better from this point on. But if you look at the Chargers' upcoming schedule, okay, it's not easy, right? So tonight they get the Raiders on the road. That's not an easy game. Next week they take on the 18th. So they'd get, next week they would take on the Kansas City Chiefs at home. Then you got to go on the road for the Broncos and Jaguars. And even though the Broncos have had struggles, not an easy place to play. Jacksonville's also a team right now that's fighting for playoff contention. The Chargers have a rough go of it. This seems like a must-win for the Chargers. I don't know if it's a must-win for the Raiders. The Raiders set themselves up. They get a victory tonight just playing the law of averages. But based on what the Chargers have in front of them, I almost feel like tonight's a must-win for this team. I really do.
I'm with you. I think the Chargers, if they want to make the playoffs, they have to win tonight. They're favored tonight, but I don't think they're going to win. I like the Raiders tonight.
Who would have thought that week 10, we would be saying if the Chargers don't win this game tonight, they might not make the playoffs. I mean, they would drop to 4-6. They would probably have to win 6 games in a row in order to get into the postseason. And so while every game's not a must-win from here on out, this is also a division game. You have to take care of business. Chargers right now 0-1 in division play. The Chiefs, they've maintained without Patty Mahomes. I mean, they're 6-3. They have control of the division. You don't even pay attention to that at the moment, right? Right now, the biggest concern is you make sure you stay afloat and you remain in playoff contention. Now, with all this being said about the Chargers, and again, I'm talking about the injuries, and we're talking about Melvin Gordon. I want to throw this out there that Phillip Rivers has been damn good once again.
Hall of Famer?
Oh, he's a Hall of Famer.
One of the best.
He's a Hall of Famer. There's no question. I'm amazed that that's an argument. The Hall of Fame question to me, it's ridiculous. There's so many other criteria you have to pay attention to outside of championships. Right? I think if you're a 2-time, 3-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, yeah, you're going to the Hall of Fame. But it's very hard to win a Super Bowl. It's very, very hard to win a Super Bowl. Proof? Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest to ever do it. How many Super Bowls has Aaron Rodgers won?
He has one.
One. And this guy has been dominating for over a decade. It's very, very hard to do.
I think Aaron Rodgers, since he's came in, you know how they have the first round? I think he's only had a bye like twice, 3 times in his career. I mean, so tough to win in this league.
It is. It's very tough. Phillip Rivers so far this year, again, with a very depleted offense. Relying on wide receivers. I didn't even know who they were. Bringing guys up from the practice squad. He's completed 67% of his passes for 2,600 yards and 12 touchdowns. Start Phillip Rivers in fantasy football tonight. I'm taking the Chargers to win this game. I think it's an entertaining one, but it's a must win. You have a veteran quarterback like Phillip Rivers. Give me the Chargers tonight.
Raiders 27, Chargers 24.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Chargers. I think Phillip Rivers has a great night. We'll talk about this game on the show tomorrow. We'll also talk some college football. It's an off night, or an off week, rather, for the Utah Utes. But still, there's some very compelling games, including LSU and Alabama. We'll talk about that on the show tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We're out.